Bibles. Take your Bibles. Turn with us to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. And I have a question while you're turning there. And the question is this. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And if you say, yes, I'm a Christian, then my question is this. What's the defining proof? What's the proof that you're a Christian? And that's what the title of my message is, The Defining Proof. Look with me in the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture. And it's verse 9. Listen very carefully to the Word of God. But ye are not in the flesh. He's talking here to real true Christians, folks. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, he is none of his. He is none of his. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank you and we praise you, Father, for thy presence in this house. I thank you, Father God, for our people. I thank you, Lord, for each and every one who come this way, this day. For those who are in the parking lot, those who are in our building. And Lord, you know our heart. You know, God, that we love them. We love them so much. And God, it's in love that we preach this message this morning. I pray, Father, that God, it'll be received in love. And I pray, Father, that God, as we hear thy word, that God, thy Holy Spirit, might move in our hearts, in our lives, might touch. God, that we might examine ourselves in the light of the Word of God. And God, I pray that, Lord, today, when this service is over, that everyone can leave saying, hey, I know I am a Christian. God, it's so important, Lord. So, Lord, have your way. Glorify thy Son. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray. Amen. Folks, the most important thing in your life is that you be and know that you are a Christian. A Christian. In other words, I'm talking about saved. Amen? Saved. Being saved. Folks, the most important, listen, that's more important than being president. We're going through an election, and all you hear is Biden and Trump. Biden and, this is more important. It's more important for you to know you are a Christian than it is, beloved, for you to be president. More important than being a Supreme Court justice. It's more important, beloved, than being a good provider for your family. What good is it to provide for your family and you die and spend eternity in hell? What good is that? It's more important, beloved, than being a successful businessman or woman. It's more important than being a doctor or a lawyer. Listen, folks, being a Christian is the most important thing that you can be. That you can be. Folks, only Christians have eternal, everlasting life. Only Christians, beloved, are reconciled to God. Only Christians, beloved, will escape the torments of an eternal hell. Only Christians, beloved, have enjoyed the privilege of prayer. Only Christians, beloved, will be called away when the Lord returns for his bride. Listen, Beloved, only Christians will have access to the streets of gold and the gates of pearl. And as Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And lose his soul. So above everything else, beloved, guess what? I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. But what is a Christian? You know, there seems to be a lot of confusion about that today. I mean, you got all kinds, beloved, all kinds of people claiming to be Christian. To be Christian. Listen, I know people who claim to be Christian, and they believe it's okay for a man and woman to sleep together before they're married. I know people who claim to be Christian, beloved, that believe that homosexuality is all right, is okay. There are people, beloved, who claim to be Christian, who believe it's okay to be a Muslim and worship Allah, who believe, beloved, abortion is a woman's right. Listen, you can claim to be anything, but that don't make it so, amen? Amen. I mean, you know, I can claim to be the most handsome man in the whole world, amen? Does that make it so? No, it don't make it so. Neither, beloved, does claiming to be a Christian make you a Christian. What did Jesus, and by the way, there's a lot of them that claim to be Christian. What did Jesus say? He said, many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, and the Lord will answer back. These are people who claim to be Christian. And the Lord will answer back, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. So if claiming to be a Christian doesn't make you a Christian, what does? What does? Well, let's ask some folks. Sir, are you a Christian? Why, yes, I am. I've been a Christian for 40 years. And why do you say that, sir? Well, I say that because 40 years ago, I joined the church. Folks, joining the church does not prove you're a Christian. It's no proof at all. At all. Suppose, beloved, I go once a week or twice a week and I stand in a parking lot. Does that make me a car? Come on. No. And coming once or twice a week and sitting in a church don't make you a Christian. Don't make you a Christian. But so many, beloved, point to their church attendance or their church membership as proof of being a Christian. Beloved, let's go to somebody. Ma'am, are you a Christian? I most certainly am. I most certainly am. And why do you say that? What's your proof? Because 20 years ago, I was baptized. I got the certificate at home in my drawer. Oh. So I guess, beloved, God's going to check baptismal certificates when they stand before Him. I don't think so. Do you? I don't think so. Folks, listen. If baptism could save, we wouldn't have had to build this building. You know what we could have done? We could have stopped up the two ends of that ditch out there, let it fill with water, and just baptized folks. If that made you a Christian. But it doesn't. It doesn't. Let's ask this young man. This young man coming along, bebopping along, you know, with the earphones in his ear or whatever they call earplugs or whatever they call. Sir, do you mind taking your earplugs out for a minute and let us ask you a question? Sure. Sure, go ahead. Are you a Christian? Sir, everything depends on that. Young man, you need to know, are you a Christian? And he says, sure, man. I'm trying to talk like Mason and these guys now. Sure, man. I'm a Christian. I'm cool. Well, you see, My old man and my big mama, they were into this religious stuff, you know, and they were Christians. And so, guess what? I'm their son, so I'm a Christian too. I'm a Christian too. Does that make you a Christian? Folks, if your parents were convicts, does that make you a convict? If your parents, beloved, were serial killers, did that make you a serial killer? If your parents were headhunters with a bone in their nose, does that make you a headhunter? No. Let's try one more. Excuse me, sir, you mind putting your beer down for a moment? I want to ask you a question. Are you a Christian? And he says, well, yes, I am. You see, one day when I was young, I said a prayer. This preacher, he led me in this prayer. I don't know very much about those things, so he led me in this prayer. And after I finished, the preacher looked at me and said, you are saved. So yes, I am a Christian. So that's the proof. You repeated a prayer. But did you mean it with all your heart? Did you really, by faith, receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior and repent of your sin? Of course I did. So what's the proof that you did? What's the proof? Folks, none of these things, listen, is the defining proof that you are a Christian. And everything depends on that. Not church membership, not having parents that were Christians, not being baptized, not even, beloved, saying a prayer behind the preacher. So what is it? What is the proof? I mean, beloved, the undeniable proof that you are a Christian. Beloved, we better know, because I'm telling you, everything depends on it. Everything. Listen, folks, the defining proof, now follow me, that you are indeed a Christian or saved is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus in John 3? Beloved, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He was a leader. He was a Pharisee, a leader among the Jews. And Jesus said this in John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, and he said, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, listen to this, except a man be born of water, that's physical birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. But wait a minute. What does that mean? It means, beloved, listen, that when you truly, truly, by faith, receive Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, trusting in His death and His burial and His resurrection to save you, the Holy Spirit of God comes into your heart. The Holy Spirit enters and indwells you, and you are born again, born spiritually. Now listen, if you are not born again, you are not saved. If you are not born again, you are not really a Christian. You are not. Doesn't matter how many churches you join. Doesn't matter, beloved, how many times you're baptized. Doesn't matter what your parents were or how many prayers you prayed. Beloved, you are not a Christian if the Holy Ghost doesn't dwell within you. Within you. Boy, Paul said it so well in our text. Look again at our text in Romans. But ye are not in the flesh, but in what? The Spirit. What's unusual about that word Spirit? It's capitalized. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. Listen, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, he is none of his. Wow. Wow. Listen to that. Beloved, Paul said it so well. I mean, did you get that? You, beloved, are of the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, which is the Spirit of God, he is none of his. He is none of his. Folks, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in you, you are not his. You are not his. And if you're not his, guess whose you are? You're the devil's. You're the devil's. In other words, beloved, if you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you are not saved. You are not a Christian. So you see, the defining proof that you are a Christian is the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, in you. Folks, everything depends on you truly being a Christian. Everything, beloved, in your relationship with God, everything concerning eternity. So I ask you, does the Holy Spirit dwell in you? Does he dwell in you? Maybe somebody says, preacher, I realize how important this is. I realize that the defining proof of my salvation is the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. But preacher, how do I know? How do I know he's dwelling in me? How can I tell? Let me share with you how you can tell if the Holy Ghost is living in you. Folks, if the Holy Ghost dwells in you, listen, you are a new creature. Did you get that? Ain't no mites or maybes or buts about it. You are a new creature. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen to verse 17. Listen to what it says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Become new. Did you get that? Beloved, when you are in Christ, and that's what you are, beloved, when you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, John chapter 14, when you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Beloved, when that happens, all things pass away and all things become new to you. To you. In other words, you don't want to do the things you used to do. You don't want to go to the places you used to go, do you, Brother Marshall? You don't want to be and act, beloved, like the person that you were before. You are a new creature. A new creature. You're changed, folks. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Oh, but listen, you want to be. And you strive to be. You strive to be. You know, I remember when I got saved. When I got saved, right after I got saved, I read a book. It was a book written by a preacher who believed in a second work of grace. You say, now what is that, preacher? There are those folks who believe that you get saved, and that's the first work of grace. And then later on somewhere, you get the Holy Ghost, and that's the second work of grace. And when you get the Holy Ghost, it's evidenced by speaking in tongues. There are people who believe that. And this preacher that wrote this book believed that. I was brand new. I didn't know anything. I didn't know that Paul said, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of his. You're none of his. But I read that book. And boy, as a new Christian, I wanted the Holy Ghost. I wanted the Holy Ghost to indwell me. I wanted it. Martha and I talked about it. And I said, Martha, when are we going to receive the Holy Ghost? And we would pray for the Holy Ghost. But he didn't come. Didn't come. And we did this for weeks. And then we were going to get baptized. Because Saratoga didn't have a baptistry then. And we were going to get baptized at Aspen Grove. And as our baptism came closer and closer, I told Martha, I said, Martha, I had a thought. I said, you reckon maybe we're going to receive the Holy Ghost when we get baptized? And boy, that just made it that much more special. Finally, the day came for us to be baptized. We went to Aspen Grove. And it was, I don't remember, it was, what, March, April, it was cold. And their baptistry did not, their heater in their baptistry didn't work. You talk about cold. That was the coldest water I ever felt in my life. But brother, we got in that baptism. And he said those words and took us down and brought us up. And man, I'm going to tell you, it was wonderful. It was fantastic. I couldn't get over it. I felt so great. I felt so good. And Martha and I both were just rejoicing. We were rejoicing. We were so happy. And on the way home, we were talking about it, how wonderful it was, how great we felt. And about halfway home, thought came to my mind. Wait a minute. And I told Martha, I said, wait a minute, Martha. We didn't receive the Holy Ghost. And brother, when I said those words, it was like, pow, that minute. The Holy Ghost of God that dwelled in me spoke to my heart. And he said, Rex, look at you. You don't go to places you used to go. You don't talk like you used to talk. You don't live like you used to live. I've been with you since you got saved. You have been changed. You have been changed. You have been changed. Oh, let me tell you. Folks, if the Holy Spirit is in you, listen to me. You are a new creature. See, he is God. Amen? You got God living in you. And brother, you cannot be the same person you were if God is indwelling you. Amen? Amen. Amen. So if you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, if you are a Christian, beloved, you are a new creature. You are changed. Changed. Now maybe somebody says, "Preacher, I wasn't ever really that bad." And there's some folks who are not. "Preacher, I didn't have a lot of changing to do. So how can I tell if I have the Holy Spirit indwelling me? I mean, preacher, I didn't drink. I didn't cuss. I didn't go to bad places. I didn't do all those really bad things like Martha did. So, preacher, I mean, how do I know that the Holy Spirit indwells me?" Folks, you know it, listen, by who He is. By who He is. Who is the Holy Spirit? God. Thank you. I was going to say, I just told you a few moments ago. He is God. He is God. Folks, the Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Father is God. As much God as God the Son is God. And who does the Bible tell us God is? God is love. Amen. Amen. Folks, that was one of the greatest changes in this old boy when he got saved. When the Holy Spirit indwelt me, beloved, I loved everybody. I loved everybody. I won't like that before I got saved. That's Martha. I won't like that. But when I was born again, beloved, I loved everyone. And it wasn't anything but God in the person of the Holy Ghost loving through me. Through me. Folks, I found myself loving the things that God loved. That God loved. I loved Jesus. I loved the Father. I loved church. I loved souls. I loved His Word. Hey, I even loved those who didn't like me. I even loved those who hated me. I even loved those who hurt me. It was the biggest difference in the world. God in me, loving, loving, loving. And man, did I love the church. You can ask Martha. Boy, church time come, I was like a hog after slops on a morning. I mean, I come running, man. We were the first ones there. We were the last ones to leave every Sunday. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it, beloved. If I'd have had my way, we would have went to church every day to the week. Every day. I loved it. I remember one Sunday, we hadn't been saved very long. It snowed. They called church off. And boy, I'm telling you, that Sunday, you talk about miserable. You talk about, beloved, like a caged lion. I mean, I was back and forth, back and forth. I told Martha, I can't stand this. I can't stand this. That Wednesday night came, same thing. Church was called off for the snow. I said, "That's all right. It'll be gone by Sunday. And we'll be back in church Sunday." Before that Sunday came, guess what? Another snow. And they called it off for the second Sunday. Boy, I thought I was going to pull my hair out. I'm going to tell you, I couldn't stand it. I loved it so much, so much. It was like food to me. I loved God's Word. I loved it. Again, I could not get enough of the Word of God. Boy, I started reading the Bible, and beloved, it thrilled my soul. Thrilled my soul. I had a little New Testament I kept with me all the time. All the time. Little Gideon Bible. I'd take that thing to work, break, I'd be in that Bible. lunchtime, I'd get my food, I'd open it up, sit in the truck, and I'd read that Bible. I read it when I got home. I'd read it, beloved, everywhere in that house I went, and I mean everywhere in that house, if you know what I mean. Everywhere. I was reading that Bible. Reading that Bible. I couldn't get enough of it. First year I was saved. First year. I tell people this and they don't believe me. But it's the truth. It's God is my witness. I read the Bible through 7 times. And I don't mean I speed read it. I mean I read it. 7 times. And preaching, I love preaching. You can ask Martin. Revival come around somewhere, anywhere within driving distance. Off we go, wouldn't we, Martin? Off we go. I couldn't get enough of it. Oliver Green, Oliver B. Green, you know how many of y'all remember him? On the radio. Man, every time that man would come on, I'd hear that, I'd have that radio turned on. And I'd listen to him preach and teach. I bought every book that Oliver Green had. Every book. You can ask Martha. I would check the mailbox every day to see if those books had gone. And I read them along with my Bible. I'd read those commentaries by old Oliver Green. Oh, listen, I love you. Somebody says, preacher, you are bragging. You are bragging. No, listen, you don't understand. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Ghost that indwelt me, that loved the Word. That loved the Word. And oh, did I love Jesus. He became my dearest friend. Beloved, every morning when I get up, the first thing I think about is Jesus. And every night before I'd go to bed, before I'd go to sleep, it would be Jesus on my mind. And all day through, I would walk and talk with Him. I'd walk and talk all through the day. It was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sweetest name I know. Filled my every longing. Keeps me singing as I go. Oh, listen. You want to know if the Holy Spirit indwells you? Then tell me, what do you love? What do you love? Do you love the things of God? Do you love the things that God loves above everything else? If you do, and my friend, that's a sure sign that the Holy Spirit dwells in you and you are a Christian. But beloved, if you have no love for the things of God, listen, either somewhere along the way you began to quench the Spirit, or beloved, He doesn't dwell in you, and you, friend, are not a Christian. You are not. Now, yet another way to know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you, listen to me, is obedience to God's Word. You remember I said a moment ago, if you have the Holy Spirit, you love Christ. Remember me saying that? Come on. Come on. Is that all? I got hearing aids now. Yes, preacher. Come on. Help me. Yeah, all right. If you have the Holy Ghost, you love Christ. Well, there's something that goes along with loving Christ. Beloved, you can ask almost any professing Christian if they love the Lord. And I'll guarantee you, beloved, they're going to say, yes, I do. Yes, I do. But, if they are telling you the truth, listen to me. They obey God. They obey God's Word. Look with me in your Bibles. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Jesus is speaking. Look at what he says in verse 15. He says, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Look at verse 21 in this chapter. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Boy, that's pretty plain. He that keeps my commandments loveth me. He that don't keep my commandments don't love me. If you doubt that, look at verse 23 and 24. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Well, that makes sense, don't it? I mean, how can they not love him, beloved? How can they not love him with the Spirit of God living in them? Amen? And beloved, because to not obey is to grieve the Holy Spirit. And you know something? If you grieve the Holy Spirit that dwells in you, beloved, he will convict you of sin. And let me tell you something, folks. He will beat you down if the Holy Spirit dwells within you. He will beat you down. Worst feeling I have ever had was those times that I disobeyed God and I felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit that dwells in me. I remember the very first time it happened after I got saved. Folks, I disobeyed the Lord. And I'm telling you, you talk about sick. I was sick. I was miserable. Beloved, I felt as if God had a big stick and he was beating me with it and beating me with it. You see, at that time, I didn't know 1 John 1:9. I didn't know that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Never knew that verse at that time. I'm telling you, folks, the Holy Spirit whipped me and whipped me and whipped me until I begged God. I mean, I called out to God, begging God to please forgive me. And I repented of my sin. And beloved, the beating stopped. It stopped. Now, if the Holy Ghost did not dwell in me, do you think that sin would have bothered me? No. That's why it's so hard for me to understand people disobeying God who claim to be Christian and not repenting and not getting right with God. What is it? Is it that they're quenching the Spirit, or is it, beloved, that the Holy Ghost doesn't dwell in them? What is it? What is it? If the Holy Ghost is not dwelling in you, you are not saved. You are not truly a Christian. Folks, it doesn't matter what you claim. It don't matter. It don't matter if you're on a church roll or not. It doesn't matter if you attend every Sunday or not. It doesn't matter, beloved, how many times you've been baptized. It doesn't matter. The defining proof that you are a Christian, that you are saved, is the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you. Everything depends on that. One day, every one of us will stand before our God. Beloved, you will either hear Him say, depart from me, ye cursed, or you'll hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But to hear that well done, you must be saved. That means you must be born again. You must be indwelt by the Holy Ghost of God. Everything depends on that. Everything. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I preach this because I truly love you. And I love everyone who watched this on YouTube, because I love you. I want you to look at yourself, and I want you to be brutally, brutally honest with your own heart, and ask yourself this: Do I have the defining proof that I am truly a Christian? Do I have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling me? And if you do, praise God, praise God. Thank God, thank God. If not, then please come. Come and cry out to the Lord in faith and repentance and sincerity, and He will save you, and the Holy Ghost of God will indwell you, and you will be a new creature that loves the things of God and obeys His word. And obeys His word. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Father, on bended knees. God, search my heart. Search the hearts of every person here, every person that hears this message. And Father, shine your holy light into the darkest crevices. And help us to see ourselves as we really are. Father, if we don't see the Holy Spirit living in us, then God, please deal with our heart. God, may we humble ourselves before you. God, may we all know I am a Christian. I am. Father, have your way. Glorify your Son. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I ask you to stand. And for whatever reason God speaks to your heart, we invite you to come. We invite you to come. Maybe you're thinking, preacher, I have the Holy Ghost. I know I do. But I've got someone I'm really concerned about. Won't you come and pray for them? Maybe you say, preacher, I've got the Holy Spirit. And I'm so thankful. I just want to praise you. I just want to give you the glory. Maybe you say, preacher, I'm afraid I don't. Then come. come and let God do a miracle in your life. I mean a real miracle. Won't you come? 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 You may be seated. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank God for these who come. God knows each one. God knows each need. I'm going to ask if there's anyone in our church about this altar. And you say, preacher, I don't know I'm saved. And I understand how important this is. And I want to be saved. Would you lift your hand? Anyone, we'll pray with you, talk with you. Anyone, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these who come. We have a young man in our church. I am so proud of him. I've loved him ever since I knew him. And he is living for the Lord. And I'm going to ask him to lead us in this prayer.